Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now for the purpose of allowing you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or seek direction for your real-life issue. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. That's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As we say so often on the broadcast, the good news is simply this, that Jesus Christ is alive. And because he's alive, he can speak words of truth, he can speak words of love, he can speak words of freedom into our lives that change us, that make a difference, that bring us out of darkness and into light. That's why everything hinges on the fact that he was raised from the dead. But there's a great story early on in his ministry where he is proclaiming the word of God and he is in a house just jammed full with people. They're all interested in hearing what he has to say. And there's a group of guys that come up on the house and they have a friend who's paralyzed and he's on this mat. And they get to the door front and there's no way for them to get in to that house and to take their friend to where Jesus is. So these guys are resourceful. They figure out a way. So they climb up on the roof and they dig a hole through the thatch and they lower their friend down. And Jesus said, you know, when he saw their faith, he said to this paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Those are words of freedom. That's one of the most freeing statements you can ever hear. And Jesus today says the same words to us. When we come to him by faith, he looks at us and says, "Bob, Richard, Andrew, Bill, Jim, your sins are forgiven." What are those words? Those are words of freedom. Right. He is announcing your freedom from the punishment of sin, from the power of sin, and eventually from the presence of sin. That's good news. And if we want to truly experience freedom in Christ, that's where we have to start, isn't it, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you think about our freedom from sin, Bob, and you know, a lot of Christians, I think we think we're dying to sin or we're going to progressively get free from sin, maybe a little bit more Bible study, a little bit more scripture memory, a little bit more church attendance, and slowly we'll kill sin off or something. You know, our theology can get kind of wacky sometimes, and I think, you know, God is trying to tell us, you know, if it's Romans 6 or Romans 7, Romans 8, that whole story there in Romans is that you died to sin, and in fact, you don't like sin. Even if you try to like it, there's a heart within you that doesn't like it. There's a spirit within you that doesn't like it. You're dead to it. It doesn't pay off. And it's not progressive. You don't die to sin through scripture memory. You die to sin on a cross. And when we at salvation are crucified with Christ, I mean, it changes everything about what we really, really want. And I guess, you know, we spend a lifetime just getting aware of the impact of God changing what we really want.
Yes, indeed. So when we talk about this idea of freedom, there's the freedom from side of freedom. So we've been set free from sin and death. That's what God's grace did through the work of Jesus Christ. But we're set free to something. And so today we're going to take a look at what we've been set free from. That's the punishment of sin through the death of Christ. And if you have a question on this, we would love to hear from you right now at 1-800-677-9377.
1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. And guys and all of our listeners, once again, we are celebrating the freedoms that we've enjoyed in the U.S. by sharing with you the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Basic Gospel resources are wonderful tools to help you communicate the gospel with those around you. And through midnight this Sunday, you have the opportunity to access these resources at 40% off the regular price. And to see everything that's available, visit store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net. And when you check out, be sure to enter the word freedom in the coupon code. Again, freedom for that coupon code will get you that 40% off. And again, that's at store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Peter listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I have a quick question. I mean, Christ came to take away the sins of the world, like John states, you know, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. I totally agree with that. Also, do you believe, I mean, well, it's that the all the miracles, all the healings seized with the apostles, total healings, laying hands and eyes, totally, you know, the blind and all. I mean, why is that, gentlemen? Why do you feel, you know, do you feel that way? Why would the divine healings cease with the apostles?
Well, I mean, my take is that they don't cease. I think we have to look at the purpose of them. A lot of them are happening.
Right. Maybe I'm out of contact. Yeah. The purpose of them, why, you know, and we're not seeing that in the last, you know, 1900 years.
Right. Yeah. So if you look at the purpose.
I mean, a lot of Christians get caught up in that, you know, with the healing, laying of the hands and, you know, commanding God to heal in Christ, you know, and,
right.
You know, because it states in the Bible, if you totally believe and have faith, you will do more, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where, as a Christian, you know, it gets a little, like, we get a little, you know, different denominations.
Sure.
Different,
well, let me just take a minute to share my thoughts on it. You know, I think that what you see largely in the book of Acts in the early church is you see healings and miracles, and the power of God is demonstrated to bolster the message and to declare the identity of Jesus. I mean, imagine if you're a Jewish person living back then, you've already heard that Moses walked across the Red Sea with the waters parted, and God did that, and God led them out of Egypt, and Yahweh has been doing miracles for thousands of years for the people of Israel, and now there's this little group of people led by 12 leaders who are now saying, well, Yahweh is found through Jesus Christ. So how are you going to reveal that this is indeed Jesus Christ and he is the doorway to Yahweh, that he's the doorway to God? Well, I think, you know, God used miracles and the powers of his power to display that indeed the disciples who were then apostles were correct, and that, you know, Jesus is now the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. So Jesus fed 5,000, and then he said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and then he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And I think the apostles healed people, blind people, lame people, etc., and they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So it's not about how many or how often or why not so often these days. I think it really comes down to the why. And the why is that God was declaring that his son is the way, the truth, and the life. And so it wouldn't surprise me today if on the forefront of the gospel preaching and new places that we see more of the sharing of in foreign languages where people can hear the gospel in their own tongue miraculously. And I believe I think we all believe that God can and does heal today. The spiritual gifts haven't stopped. But I think when we chase the gifts and when we chase the miracles, we're looking for that 4th of July experience, which is coming up. But the problem is the next day you have to pick up all the trash and you say, well, where are all the miracles now? Where are all the fireworks now? And that's why I think we have to worship Jesus, not wonders.
Okay.
Does that help, Peter?
Okay. Yes, it does. God bless you.
Well, thank you for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of open lines. If you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Andrew Farley, Richard Piper, Bob Christopher, and me, well, we invite your call right now to 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open and plenty of time on the clock. If you have something you'd like to share about freedom you found in the Lord Jesus Christ to be an encouragement to others, we invite your call right now. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
You know, Bob, one of the interesting things that we have heard from our listeners through the years, one of the main testimonies is the fact that they've experienced freedom for the first time in their lives. And that's what the grace of God does. It leads a person into freedom, freedom from and freedom to.
Yeah.
So if that's your testimony, we would love to hear from you. That would be a great encouragement to others out there listening. So call right now. Let us hear from you. If you have a question, we would love to direct you into the Word of God as well. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hi, everybody. A couple of things. I'll be real quick about it. Two of the most freeing things that I've ever experienced and continue to experience in the Word of God and in Christ is several years ago I was led by the Spirit to ask God to allow me to see myself as He sees me, to see me from His point of view, and also to see others from His point of view. And God's no respecter of persons, and He's absolutely done that for me. And He also explained to me through you and Dr. Farley, Andrew Farley, why we sin. And there's probably 90%+ of the people in the body of Christ don't understand the fact that, yes, everything was taken, the penalty was taken away at the cross, but they all have this question, why do I still sin? Can you all add to that, please?
Well, I think we can, Brad. I think that's a very legitimate question. Why do we still sin after we've been freed from the penalty and power of sin through faith in Jesus Christ? Well, we still sin because flesh is still hanging on us. And within that flesh is sin, the sin principle. The flesh is always going to operate in unbelief, basically. And it's going to try to draw us away from our walk of faith in Jesus Christ. But our flesh isn't us. It's not us at all. And we have to recognize that. But sometimes the lure of the flesh combined with the lure of the world and all of those sort of things draws us away, and we can give in. But we're giving in as a child of God. We're giving in as we're walking in the amazing light of Jesus Christ Himself. And when we give in, that light shines brightly, and we look and say, wow, I don't belong here anymore. This doesn't line up with who I am in Christ. This doesn't line up with what God's Spirit is working inside of me. And so in that process, we learn how to say no to the temptations of the world and yes to Jesus Christ. That's part of the role grace plays in our lives, to teach us as children of God to say no to the things of this world. Andrew, you call sin the rat in the room or a parasite. Yeah. It's that thing that just annoys us, that just drives us crazy. We can't get rid of it. But we don't have to pay attention to it, do we?
Yeah, you know, one of the analogies I also use is that it's all bark and no bite. I mean, it can be very intimidating. You know, the power of sin can tempt us repeatedly, can tempt us strongly, in a high volume and a frequent voice, you know, a tempting voice, so to speak. And really, we have to learn that no matter how frequent it is and no matter how loud it is, we don't have to give in to the content of it. And, you know, Bob, if I could shout from the rooftops a couple of verses out of Romans 7 when it comes to this question, it's just Romans 7, verse 17 and 20, they both say the same thing, basically. They say, when I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin. So that's not passing the buck and saying the devil made me do it, I have no responsibility or anything like that. That's not what Paul's saying. But Paul is saying, I discovered something that was in me that's not me. I discovered something that was like a parasitic power that's been tempting me and even acting through the members of my body. I've been giving myself over. I've been giving my hands, my feet, I've been giving my mindsets over to this parasitic power called sin, and then I end up doing what I don't really want to do. So two facts out of that. Number one, there's a parasite called sin that is the tempter. But number two, hey, Christian, when you sin, you are not really doing what you really want. And that in and of itself is a revelation.
Yes, it is. Well, Brad, thanks for your call today. Let's go to New York and talk with Doris, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Doris. Doris, you're on the line.
Yes, I was told by a church member that I could lose my salvation. And I said to her, God is not the kind of God who's going to give you salvation and snatch it from you if you do something wrong. And she says, well, if you do something wrong enough, you do the same thing wrong enough, He will turn you into a reprobate. He gives up on you.
Well, Doris, you know, if he's going to give up on somebody, it's not one of his children. That's not what any of those passages are talking about. Whenever somebody continues to live in rebellion, and he's talking about a lost person, somebody who is dead spiritually, and they're adamantly opposed to the things of God, there's going to be a point in time where God gives them over. And not because he's discarding them, but he wants them to feel the full measure of their rebellion, in hopes that would bring them to the end of their, you know, the end of themselves, where they will finally say, Lord, you truly are the one that can save, and I'm putting all that I am and all that I want to be in your hands. But as far as his children, he always treats us as his children. I mean, he's our daddy, father, and he's always going to respond to us in grace, and his grace is always bigger than our sin. No matter how much we sin, no matter how many times we do the same thing over and over and over and over again, God's grace is bigger still. And if you're a child of his, you're always a child of his. He has given you eternal life. That life is his very own life. He's come to live inside of you, and you're going to have his life as long as he has his life. And so how long is Christ going to have his life?
Forever.
His life is indestructible. It will know no end. And the same is true of us. As long as Jesus is alive, we are going to be alive in him. That's eternal security.
Yeah, you know, Bob, it seems like we hear this on and off throughout the years, over and over, different flavors and different versions of this teaching is out there. And basically it says, hey, Christian, you are forgiven of all your sins. Jesus died for all your sins unless you sin too much. And so the all your sins really just becomes some of your sins, because Jesus died for all of your sins and paid the price for all your sins unless you sin too much. Well, that's not the gospel. The gospel is what Bob was explaining. I mean, Hebrews 7, it says, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives. So you notice that we're saved completely. And as Bob said, we're saved completely because Jesus always lives. And then you go through, the book of Hebrews, and you look at our forgiveness, and it says that it's once for all. That means one sacrifice for all time. Now, all time doesn't mean, you know, except for later, if you sin too much later. No, all time means all time. And so Hebrews 10, to sum up here, it says, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are the holy ones. So I would hang on tightly to Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 7, which are telling us a Christian is made perfect forever and a Christian is saved forever. And it's because of Jesus, not because of us.
Okay.
Well, Doris, let me do this. We have a great little resource, a single CD message entitled Drive the Stake, and it's a full detailed explanation of eternal security, the salvation that we have in Christ. I would love to send that to you as our compliments. And once you listen to it, I think that's really going to help you stand solidly in the firm foundation that you have in Christ, and it will be something that you can pass on to others to help them in their walk of faith. So, Doris.
Okay, it's one other thing. I heard a lady call in, it was either last week or the week before, and she was saying that she smoked and she does not want to, but she finds herself buying them. I can resonate with her. I do the same thing, and every time I take a cigarette, I feel like I'm making God cry.
Well, Doris, God loves you. He is just crazy, madly in love with you. He will look at you and say, Doris, you don't need to smoke. Those, are nasty. They're not going to do anything for your health. but it doesn't change the way he feels about you. It doesn't change the nature of what he accomplished for you through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
I noticed the more I prayed to him about it, the more I seemed to want to smoke.
Well, quit praying about stopping smoking. Because every time you pray about smoking, guess what you're thinking about? Smoking. And boy, they start sounding pretty good. So start praying about being healthy. You know, Lord, you know, I understand you've come to live inside of me. I've come to understand that I'm supposed to offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Teach me how to walk by faith in that truth.
Yeah, you know, Doris, the other thing I would say is just, you know, we've already said it's a health issue, so don't beat yourself up over it, because stressing out about it is also a health issue. You could get so stressed about smoking that you could cause, you know, more stress in your life. And really, I mean, we need to watch what we eat. We need to make sure we get some exercise of some kind. We need to avoid things that hurt our lungs. I mean, there's a whole list of ways that we can live in a healthy fashion, but this is not about getting right with God. I don't get right with God by avoiding cheeseburgers, and I don't get right with God by avoiding cigarettes. So it really does come down to a health issue.
Okay.
Well, Doris, let me put you on hold. We'll send you this CD. Once you listen to it, will you call us back?
Yes, I will.
Well, thank you, Doris.
And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your call today. You hold on. Well, let's go to San Francisco, California, and talk with Melvin, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Melvin.
Hi, hello, guys. I just got a question. Is there any reason how come, I mean, why in the New Testament, I mean, Jesus never called God by his name, like in the Old Testament, like Jehovah or any other names? He always called him my Father or the Creator, never mentioned any names.
I mean, you know, my question was, you know, would I call my father Guy? He was Guy Farley. He lived till 1998. Would I wake up every day and call him Guy? Well, no, I'd call him Dad, because he's not Guy Farley to me. He's Dad. So, you know, Jesus got in some hot water sometimes. I mean, people were looking at him, and he was referring to God as his Father, as Abba Father, I mean, Daddy. Using some intimate language, some people would say inappropriate language. But what it shows to me is the closeness that Jesus had with his Father, that he wasn't calling him by a formal name, but he was addressing him as Dad.
So this is another proof that he was truly the Son of God, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Another thing, too, a lot of the names in the Old Testament that God has, are in relationship to how he treats us. You know, Jehovah Jireh, provider. Jesus walked in that. Jesus walked in the knowledge of all that his Father was to him. And that is the great thing. He knew his Father as the provider, the banner, all of those names of God, but he also knew him as Father. And I think that points to his great desire for us, is to include us into that family so that we too can call him Daddy Father and recognize all of the other things that he does for us just because he's God. Well, Melvin, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. Andrew, thanks for joining us. Thanks for your keen insights into the Word of God and your practical help that you've offered to our listeners today. And as always, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks to the silent one as well, Mr. Richard.
You're welcome.
We are just about out of time, friends. You know, once again, we are celebrating the freedoms that we've enjoyed in these United States by sharing with you the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Basic gospel resources are indeed wonderful tools to help you communicate the gospel with those around you. And through midnight this Sunday, you have the opportunity to access these very same resources, one of which Bob mentioned to Doris just a few moments ago, at 40% off the regular price. To see everything that's available, visit store.basicgospel.net. And when you purchase, be sure to enter the word freedom in the coupon code. Again, the word freedom in that coupon code field. Again, that's at store.basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, and our ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.